Well, this is strange. I'm talking to you all today, but knowing that you won't actually hear me for a few more days. And who knows what will have happened by then. I'm in an almost empty church, where there used to be folks in the pews. At St Andrew's, we've left the there but not there figures in place. It's not their originally intended purpose, but they're a symbol of our inability to gather in person and our hope that we shall again soon. And of course, this is being recorded. How very strange. And how frequently have we referred to these days as strange times? In our Old Testament reading, we heard that David thought it strange and not right that he was living in a palace when the Ark of the Covenant, which carried God's words to Moses, was in a tent. He was aware of an imbalance. Laudable, but it was his idea, not God's, to build a temple in that place. So God spoke through the prophet Nathan, David's advisor, to tell David that building a temple was not the role that God had in mind for him. David's role was to unify Israel. It was for another person, his son Solomon, to build the temple when it was time, when they were in Jerusalem. David needed to give up his own idea and accept God's will. God, of course, promised David that his house would continue forever, and David trusted God. But he could never have imagined how his house would continue forever in the fulfillment of that promise in Christ Jesus. If Samuel points us to God's promise to Israel, then Paul's letter to the Romans surely points us to God's promise to the whole world. If Jerusalem was the centre of Jewish life, Rome was the political, social, and economic centre. Rome had enormous influence across a huge swathe of the world, as we know. Paul is addressing the church in Rome before he's even been there, but he knew the potential influence of the church in that place to make known the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Those prophecies include the preparing for and the announcing of the coming of the Messiah, which we've heard about over the past 2 weeks in the role of the adult John the Baptist. And now, how strange, today our gospel reading is about a time before John was even born. That if we think things today are strange, maybe we should consider just for a little while how strange it was for Mary as we explore our gospel reading today. The gospel according to Matthew simply tells us that Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph got the angel in that gospel. Mark and John begin with John the Baptist in the wilderness, proclaiming the coming of Jesus. But in Luke, as we've heard today, we're given this lovely passage where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her this extraordinarily strange thing. Do you, like me, wonder what Mary was doing when the angel Gabriel suddenly appeared to her? There she was, minding her own business, not in the important city of Jerusalem, but in a very ordinary place in Nazareth. What a surprise it must have been for Mary. What was she doing? I wonder if she was in a quiet place, maybe sitting, kneeling, thinking, praying. Or was she outside? Perhaps she was gardening or growing food. Maybe she was indoors, preparing a meal for her own household, or maybe enough for visitors too. Offering hospitality was so very important at that time. And in our own strange times, the fact that we can't offer and receive hospitality as we normally would over this Christmas period is one of the many, many things that marks this time as so strange. So maybe Mary was busy making food. Maybe she was doing the chores, the things we so often find boring. cleaning, scrubbing, sweeping the floors. Or maybe she was just resting. Well, we don't know. Mary was just being Mary, doing Mary things, when the angel appeared and said God was asking her to bear a child. Her, a young woman, not yet married, a relatively unimportant person in a relatively unimportant place. And if that wasn't enough of a surprise, this baby would turn out to be the Son of the Most High. He will have the throne of David. He will reign over Jacob's and therefore David's descendants forever. Strange. We know Mary was a practical person. Her question wasn't why, or what, or really. It was simply how. And as if to demonstrate that this seemingly impossible thing is possible through God, then she's told that her cousin Elizabeth is also with child. Elizabeth is an older woman who has never had a child before. And at that time, her barrenness would have brought shame to her and to her husband. Having a child then was considered the fulfillment of her purpose as a woman and as a wife. Having the child she bore, John, who became the Baptist, fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, preparing the way of the Lord. When Elizabeth became pregnant with John, one translation describes her as getting on in years. It's not flattering, but maybe it conveys something of how strange it was. Both Elizabeth and, of course, Mary had roles of vital importance. And God has important roles for each and every one of us too. They may not be in the same league as the important roles of David or of Paul or of Elizabeth or certainly of Mary, but he has a purpose for each of us. Mary gives us a model of discovering that role of listening and accepting. In church and in other quiet places, sometimes we talk to God. Sometimes we might actually listen. And indeed, sometimes that's where God talks to us. Often, though, I think God speaks to us through times of activity. Maybe it's in the times when we put our faith into action. But maybe, too, he speaks to us in the boring chores stuff. Sometimes God speaks to us through hospitality, through the times when we welcome friends and strangers, feed them or maybe just give them a glass of water, or the times when we ourselves receive an unexpected welcome. If we rest, God may speak to us while we're resting. When he speaks to us, it would indeed be wonderful if a very strange surprise if it was through an angel. But it may be a whisper. It may be a gentle prompting. But we won't hear it unless we adopt that stance of open acceptance, a willingness to be surprised. The open acceptance of Mary, who was brave enough to say, "Let it be done to me. May your word to me be fulfilled." Incredible words. Let it be done to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary trusted, but she could have had no idea what that really meant. Strange enough that she would have a child. If she'd been told, if she really had any kind of inkling of what her baby would become, if she'd known that today, 2,000 years later, we would know him as our Lord and Saviour, well, I guess for a girl from Nazareth, that would have seemed very strange indeed. Amen.